I think we'll get going if you don't mind eating while we talk, because I know we're 10 after, and we certainly want to enable everyone to leave today on time at 6 o'clock and don't want to keep you any longer. But once again, we're just really happy to have you all come in person. I hope that it's been a good experience for you so far. I know Councillor Fanti enjoys the in-person, and I do too. It's been really nice. You know, this is my third meeting now chairing this committee, and while it's great online, and I really appreciate the dialogue we've had so far, I think this does kind of continue to enable building the relationships and continue to foster some of the dialogue we're having around. Again, it's this committee is really about, centering, our relationship with the communities around us. So much representation from our cities and economic development and tourism, and really that lens. And, so you're coming and seeing some of the operations, and, we welcome that feedback from you from your respective lenses. We can take that forward and take that up to for our leadership, just some of the feedback that you have. So again, really appreciate being here. And to those joining us online, we don't see faces, but we see Bram, Michael, and Claire joining us online. So thank you. Maybe we can get a thumbs up if you can hear me okay. All right, perfect. Okay, so perhaps we'll get into kind of our typical protocol, but before I do, we have another guest here today, Ruba. So if you want to introduce yourself, sure. Another colleague of ours from our SRNC department. So welcome, Ruba. Yes.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. My name is Ruba Almondler. I'm the Director of Community Engagement and Impact. And I'm here as a guest of all of actually, and our chair. And just, looking forward to hearing a conversation and the work that the committee is doing.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. I'd say our agenda is a little lighter than usual. We've kind of taken a focus today with the tour, having Raj with us, a bit of a focus on, where are we going with kind of passenger customer experience. So we did a little bit of that and had a lens on that with the tour. And so we'll pass it back to you in a few moments. But maybe before we do that, we do some of our protocol.
Yes, Jesus. So at this point, we don't have a quorum, so we will be bypassing the approvals to next meeting. Now, I'm not going to do it by voting members first. I'm going to do it around the table so if you look towards the camera, everybody can see them. So the first is Tiffany from the Ministry of Tourism. Then Robert,
yes.
City of Toronto resident, Kyle from Peel Region, Jose, right, from Destination Toronto, Inderjeet, our City of Brampton resident, Francis, right,
this is a good time.
From City of Mississauga, and I'll skip the two at the end because they're GTA, Amanda from Transport Canada, Councillor Crisanti from the City of Toronto, and then up front here is Andrew Larson. He's our Associate Director in Government Relations. Then Karen, Amandeep, Ruger just introduced herself, and then there's, sorry, Naraj, I don't know your last name, but if you can introduce yourself.
Sure.
For the people on the phone.
So okay, I'll go to Beyonce, which is my first name, but... Niraj Gautama, as director for IT, specifically in product innovation.
Okay, great. And on the line, we do have Claire Burnett, Michael Rotundo, and Bram Westfall. Welcome, guys.
Okay, thumbs up. That's good. Okay. So really, again, fairly light agenda today. We do have some updates. So we'll move into, I guess we're passing by.
Sorry, if I can, how many members for quorum do you need?
Nine.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we're shy then.
Yeah. We have voting and non-voting. Yeah,
so that's why we're not sure.
Yeah, so we would have just voted on really the passing of our minutes from last time.
Yeah, we can do that next.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we'll move into our updates section.
All right, perfect. We can go to the next slide.
Okay.
We do want to announce that a part of LIFT, which is our long-term investment in facilities and terminals, that we have awarded a contract to Pearson Accelerator Construction Team, which is a Canadian-led partnership with Global Airport Experts, supporting the top design and incorporating a team of top designers and engineering firms. The accelerator project is essentially upgrading the airfield electrical systems or runways aimed at boosting our operational efficiency. And the second project, a part of LIFT, is T1, T3 revitalizations, which is a project to enhance the passenger experience, employee experience, optimizing capacity as well. So the competitive bidding process for T1, T3 revitalizations has opened to make sure that, you know, that the recruitment process for the team for this program is fair and transparent. And we would also like to remind you folks that if you haven't already, we have pivoted from the consultative committee newsletter to the checking in newsletter. So if you haven't already done so, we have the QR code on the screen. So feel free to scan that and sign up for our newsletter.
And that one comes monthly, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that one comes, you'll get it monthly. So we just thought it's a little more, you get kind of quicker updates rather than like waiting for the quarter. So yeah, and then what we were doing here, like M&D, looking at kind of, you know, some of the more significant things that have happened over the past quarter. So these two lifts, they are big milestones, pretty big milestones in our big LIFT program. And you kind of heard pieces of that even in the tour. You heard Dean talk about just how, you know, our LIFT program and the transformation of the airport is even going to impact where they're located, right? So it's very significant over the next 10 years. So pretty big milestones to award the contract for the first of the three programs and then opening the bidding for the next one. So yeah, so it's begun. All right. So thanks, M&D. All right, we can move on. So yeah, this is some time to just kind of turn back to Niraj and build upon, you know, what you started to hear about and get a glimpse of through the tour today. So over to you, can kind of give a little bit more of the background, what we're doing as Pearson on this innovation front and kind of what the goals are, kind of
yeah,
bigger picture.
For sure.
Yeah. And thank you again for being here and spending time with this group.
Oh, of course. No, it's been a pleasure. And except for the fact you ruined the first part of it, and haven't done just I'm gonna let it go. I had a whole flow going and everything else, but hopefully you guys will wreck this one. But anyways, we go to the next slide. So I was gonna start with another game, but I'm kind of scared now. But you know, so we talked a little bit about how we're really hyper focused on like the experience of the passengers, right? So I'm not talking technical solution, not falling in love with these solutions. So I'd love to hear from you, like from an airport standpoint, a lot of you have traveled here. Let's just pick wayfinding and navigating the airport. What are some pain points that you see at the airport from a navigation standpoint? So you arrive at the terminal, where do you find? Try to think of a passenger arriving for the first time, because I know all of you probably like, I know where I'm going, so.
Yeah. I guess a lot of it will be too is just getting into the terminal, getting like accessing the terminal, the start, you know, the passenger drop off points, you know, because it all bottlenecks at the beginning. Everyone wants to pull over there.
Yeah.
Car wise, you know, and then from there to go into the terminal.
So that's a really good one there, access.
Okay. You know, just to add to that, I'd actually say that the journey to the airport for me actually starts at 427 North, 427 South. That's actually where it starts, right?
Yep.
And that's like my whole like, gosh, the airport again, right?
Yeah. So what would be the, what's the pain point there? Is it the pain point of the bottlenecks, the anticipation of knowing like it's, you know, not knowing where to go, whether you're going to make it on time.
I think at first it has to do with, like, you know that there's going to be a backup.
Yeah.
But you don't know how long it's going to be. You know that there's no other way but this one way, right? And so you already feel that anxiousness even before you get into the car.
I don't like to add into that. That's a really good point. I've lived out in South Toronto for 27 years, and I'm still not sure what exact exit I take to get into the terminals. And it happened to me again today because I see Dixon Road, Airport Road. I don't see the terminal signage until you've already taken the exit. So, and that's coming northbound. So I really actually come the other way, but primarily I'm coming, maybe most coming up from the 401, coming up 427. It doesn't say anything about terminals. The Dixon Road, Airport Road, you're not clear if that's what that means.
Should yeah. be better signage, really, because the, and then there's all the comedy of people trying to get over really yeah. quickly.
Yeah, and if you see the big chart, which is, again, you have to already be on the exit to see it, otherwise you bypass it, and if you get off anywhere after that, then you get lost in the airport.
But to that point, I guess another way of putting it is the wayfinding to get to the airport and then wayfinding when you're here. So more efficient the wayfinding sign it is, that people move around more efficiently right through the whole experience.
And I mentioned to Karen earlier when we were talking about technology solution and where to find your information, I didn't realize that GTAA had an application that I could use. I used the carrier's application to get my information. So Terminal 1 especially, I was primarily traveling to Air Canada. I guess most of us are, but 70% of your operation. I tend to go to the Air Canada app, and that's where I'm getting everything. The only time I've known or thought to go to GTA website even was when I was like tracking family that's coming
yeah.
into Toronto, but tracking their flight. I didn't realize you had that great solution that could tell you like all those key points.
Please tell everyone that my solution's great.
But that was part of my question too, sorry to dovetail on that, about the integration with the airlines or with your carriers. And we heard that in the operations center as well, that even how the teams come together, that there's still some division there, which to me was someone who's the noisy but airport operations that sounds surprising.
So excellent point and excellent question. Because one of the things I think by nature, right, we really focus on our area.
Yeah.
We don't realize that we're just a chapter of one passenger story at the end of the day.
That's right.
And the story's got to tell one experience of one narrative. So I booked my flight through Air Canada. I got my boarding pass on Aeroplan. But as soon as I walked through those doors, and I'd ask the question to everyone, is the first thing you do is look at your Aeroplan app of where to go, or are you looking at the bit screens? Right? There's a whole separate experience once you walk into the airport now, right? But guess what? It's a little disconnected. So if I'm an Aeroplan member, I'm flying business class. So for me, it's like the first place I want to go to is if you know, I travel a bunch of times, I'm not checking any bags, I want to go straight to the lounge, right? How do I know my space is reserved? How do I know when I get there? You know, if I'm a first-time flyer, I'm out of Montreal, first-time flying in Pearson, like, how do I get there, right? Like, how do I extend the experience? It's Air Canada, Pearson, back to Air Canada when you board, right? But it's one passenger that's going through the entire experience. And I think that, so you brought up a really great point, because if you look at all the stuff that you presented here, like access, unaware of the situation, where do I go, clear intuitive directions, right, effective communication, aware of the services I have, it's not an airport problem. You know, also has got some of these problems. If you go to the next slide, Durham.
I just wanted to pause. Is there anyone online that had anything to add? I do want to.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's okay. I think the hybrid. So again, for folks that are joining us online that weren't here, you know, for the tour, we really did kind of do a bit of a tour of the terminal and looking at the board when you first walk in, and Linda Rose was really just helping us kind of see it from a new lens of, you know, this, again, a passenger experience. So again, just, it's okay if you don't, but just I also want to make sure I'm being inclusive and mindful of our friends that are online, to just put your hand up if you have anything you want to add or any questions you want to ask. There we go. Okay. Michael.
Hey, Karen, sorry. Was it just getting to the airport or was it leaving the airport? Because there was always a pain point for me.
Leaving Pearson.
and like it was in terms of Uber, which was, you know, I like using Uber, don't get me wrong, but like it would be just a cluster to figure out where's my Uber. And then I'm, you know me, I wear glasses, so I'm trying to look at the license plate and zone one, zone two, Q door this, Q door that. So that was always a pain point for me. Getting to Pearson wasn't not too bad, but I don't know if we were talking about that. Thank you.
I'm going to say both, right? To and from. It's all part of the experience.
It's definitely to and from. What we find actually mostly is like our arrival passengers, the one where I would say majority of the frustration is because there's less control on their end. So you think about if you're on an international flight and you're flying in after like 12, 13 hours, right? And you're almost there to get out of the airport, out of there, and where are you stuck now? You're stuck at baggage claim, and you're waiting for a bag, right? You're like, you Usain Bolt at the finish line, but you can't get there. Almost, right? You're almost there, right? But now this is only, that creates a whole different sentiment and a different experience for you now. Like where you're going to start to be like, you know what, the bathrooms suck, because it's like, okay, like I don't know where my luggage is coming back here, or I don't know. And that's the whole thing about awareness of information and the sense of time, right? So again, from an experience standpoint,
I was gonna add to that in terms of the visitor experience. I think that the lack of information sometimes in the baggage area is what creates a lot of frustration for the visitor, because if you were to explain and say, you know, flights that are coming from South America usually have a longer time in terms of waiting because security is increased, but you have like a, your luggage should be available between 15 to 20 minutes. It's very different than not knowing.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that what we've seen with other cities that they've been doing, not only in the US, mostly Europe, is bringing some of the arrival services into the baggage area, because then they give you something else to do. So for example, the machine where you buy your SIM card when you arrive is already inside. Mm-hmm. And that at least gives you an activity to do while you're waiting the 15 minutes. And you're saving time, your experience is way better because it doesn't feel like you're waiting. So I don't know if including some activities that the visitor can do within the baggage area.
Can I add to your story? Mm-hmm. I have a story I wasn't going to share, but not a point. So we were talking to, I think it was like DFW. They were, and it was actually a real brilliant story that I remember, and I tell many people as possible. So they were like, so we did our surveys, and we were getting passenger feedback that they were frustrated, and you know, it was a bad experience, specifically on baggage.
Yeah.
So of course, the engineer in me would be like, all right, cool. What technology is going to apply? How can I solve this problem? Get the bags there faster. And there was one person out there. He's like, all right, so what's the problem? It's like, well, they're getting through customs very fast. So, you know how they solve? So the biggest complaint with baggage claim, I'm waiting for my bags. You know how they solve that problem? Customs law.
Slow down customs?
Cool. Anyone else? They moved the carousel 1 to 10.
Longer walk.
It's a longer walk.
Yeah.
So the point.
Yeah.
When you're walking and you're moving, you lose the concept of losing time. You feel like you're progressing with time. When you're stopped, time stops. They moved it to carousel number 10. Guess what stopped happening? The complaints. And so here's an example of like why the experience is more important, discovery is really important. That's what we're really trying to hyper focus on here, and not really fall in love with like a solution of like AI-based baggage claim solution that costs $20 million, where maybe still get the same output. Or you can output by just saying, hey, smooth carousel over there. So that's what I was going to share that story, but I'm like, oh, perfect segue to it. So just based upon this, at the airport, right, who else has got a lot of this? Is Vaults, the Eaton Center. Right? They have people walking in. People have a destination. Where do I go? People want clear intuitive directions. I have a video and a story that I didn't share today with my six-year-old who wanted Baskin Robbins. And I said, all right, well, here's the Cadillac Fairview information kiosk. Go and find it. You typed in BA, the image pops up. You clicked on it. It showed animations on how to get there. And it's like, huh. And then I followed him, and he got there. So post-security, we're a mini mall. So do we need an airport solution to go and solve the problem we're really trying to solve is not an airport station problem. We're just trying to get people from A to B faster, smarter, and more intuitive and safer, right? And so this is where the innovation part of thing, and I think this is where they need to really look at things a little bit different, be a little left of center on the problems we're really trying to solve, and then really connect with our ecosystem, right? Because if you think about now, if we just look at airport solutions, we're going to get the same companies trying to solve airport problems, right? So you get two or three. But if we're looking to just move people from A to B, and we're looking to do a better way of moving people from A to B and make it more intuitive and clear, situational awareness, you know, how many more if we connect to our ecosystem? How many people are in the navigation wayfinding industry here? Tons of them, right? LinkedIn, here, Google, like there's so many here. And so that's a big part of our innovation. If you look, these are kind of the four pillars. So one of them is like here, we want to establish like kind of an innovation hub. But again, innovation is a very subjective word, right? You talk to anyone to be like, I'm innovating. You know, hey, my kid be like, look, dad, I added a banana to an orange. I'm innovating, right? So it's really trying to align on like what innovation is and what we're really trying to accomplish here. And and we'll talk a little bit deeper in here, but launch a partner framework with like our ecosystem around the airport here, right? To solve problems like this that are not just airport problems, but they're like industry agnostic type of problems here, right? Wayfinding is a really good one, right? You look at, you know, if you're on the air side things, it's like, I need to get some gate, or I need to get the food, I need to go to shop, I need to go buy stuff. I don't see the difference between that and like the East Center. Okay. Demonstrate a new way to produce value at speed. So we talked about how we're not looking at giving 100 things and going buying something off the shelf and stuffing it down passengers, you know, throats about like, this is the experience you want, AI based. We're really focused on value. So I'm focused on like the one, two things that will drive more value to a passenger, faster, smarter, better, as opposed to trying to, you know, solve world hunger with like a solution and then have to square peg round hole it together. And the last thing is, again, really, I think everyone who's been here, the biggest problem you have is not to really drive the technology innovation, it's the mindset, it's the culture, right? Like how do we drive really an innovative culture here? And that's what we're really focused on doing. So I'm hyper ROI focused and I'm very about wins because I'm super competitive and I love sports like crazy. So it's like, it's all about how do we get small wins to build momentum, right? And that's what we're really trying to do. And I think that's where the partnerships with the ecosystems and around our airport can really focus.
Have to call it ICE though.
This may be an old slide because I had it called DICE because I recognized that a long time ago. So it's an old slide. Yeah, it's GTAA Innovation Center of Excellence. I recognize that too.
Maybe it's because you play hockey. That's why you
did it. Thank you. Appreciate that. Because that's what I'm going to go with now. Yeah, so I love hockey. I should put a hockey stick next to it.
So, I mean, we have representatives from some of our local, you know, municipalities, the city of Toronto. I see, Claire, you're nice and big on our screen, so just FYI. yeah, like, can you expand a little bit? Or I don't know if I'm stealing your thunder or as you move ahead, but, like, can you
expand a little bit with this group here?
So what does that look like? What you want to tap into? Because, again, Claire, looking at, you know, Francis, like, you know, user organizations that are doing a lot with kind of entrepreneurship and innovation in our local communities with businesses or startups, like what could that look like in future?
I think the answer I have is like, I really don't know. I'm excited about what it could be, right? I think for us from a GTA standpoint, really need to understand exactly what our goals are and what problem we're looking to solve. And then kind of starting to really work with our ecosystems that can help us solve problems faster, smarter, better, right? Like I come from automotive, and so, you know, very hyper-focused on, like, vehicle-based solutions and everything else. But as you saw with our vehicles, they've become less about vehicles now. They're more like these data hubs and technology-driven things, right? Like, Tesla's kind of changed that model, right? So people don't look at it from a mode of transportation all the time. Now they're looking at it as, like, a technical, you know, integrated system to kind of help us get to where we want to go. Same thing here. It's like, I think our ecosystem and our partners around, they're tapping into things that, and this will help from a strategic standpoint. I think we find that airports, because they're, I think Councillor and I were talking about a little bit too, is that GTA is like the airport's a means to an end to everyone, right? It's not about like, I'm going to come to an airport, I'm going to have an experience, like I'm going to Wonderland. It's like, it's a means to an end. I need to go there. I need to get to my flight and everything else in here, right? But we're not tapping into like what those opportunities are, because we're looking at very specific what we do really best. And that's where I say, I don't know, because the experts are outside the airport area of like how to really look at innovation, how to solve these problems and connecting us with the right partners to go and really do things a lot better and give our passengers like this awesome experience that we know we can give them here.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot to mention too, like we have Michael from post-secondary, right? So like,
yeah.
Again, thinking
the two folks I thought I was going to meet today. Yeah,
yeah, we have so many post-secondaries around, right? So it's like, yeah, these young students coming out and like, again, so many different disciplines, right? Yeah. Or that interdisciplinary approach to, you know, solving problems, right? Like you said, it's not necessarily the traditional, you know, here's the problem. Is it a tech solution? It could come from so many maybe different angles of disciplines. So,
I think that's part of one of our goals is like really having everyone kind of, my thing is fall in love with the problem, not the solution, right? Fall in love with the problem, you're really going to, you're going to solve it.
So I think it'll be interesting when there's problems on the table, right? Like those problem statements, right? Like how to tap into, you know, that ecosystem and see what comes about, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that we've been doing inside Mississauga that I really like is we have a division called IDEA. It supports Kickstarter startups, everything ground up. But whenever there's a challenge, there's a problem, we have a group of brilliant minds around the table. What we actually do is we bring that problem out to the public and we bring it to people that are in post-secondary or still inside like Sheridan or UTM or what have you. We're like, this is the problem we have. Right now, it's logistical and brand awareness, right? Changing perspective. Like, how do we make that better? And we bring it out there, and brilliant ideas end up coming to the table.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not a matter of like, hey, we're going to give you $1 million. That's nothing to do with that. It's really because they're looking to surround themselves with a problem or a situation that they can sink their teeth into, show their worth, and really allow their creativity to shine on a large platform that's able to give themselves and their school recognition.
Right. That's a great call, because you think about our platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have 50 million users.
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to get 50 million users to go and try and test and learn?
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, we're the biggest platform to go and do that. Plus, we've got retail, we've got partnership, we got passenger flow, operations. You got like, honestly, I came from automotive, and this is like, for me, who loves problem statements, loves creating problems for my family, but it's like an awesome opportunity here. I think there's so much opportunity to do that. I agree with you completely. Like, anything ideas come from, like, I love talking to anybody about ideas.
It's incredible. We had, I used the University of Guelph for ergonomic analysis downstairs here for baggage stage. Ryerson, the head of our
team,
Ryerson. For the lightning alert system, so you'll be incorporated here, and they're incredible. I can't. You just said that. It's just like they're incredible, and they'll send a team.
Yeah.
You know, it's really one thing you were saying about you have the app to help you navigate through here. Like I've always found the hardest thing was communicating stuff.
Yeah.
You have the idea. It's trying to communicate to people out there. You're mentioning that you have it on. Is it breakfast television or
the ADM?
Yeah.
The ADM will go on breakfast television.
Yeah.
Sorry, CB24.
CB24. That might be a good platform there to kind of advertise. Hey, if you want further information, use this app. Use this app. You know, that might kind of get it utilized.
Put on the bottom of the screen.
Who's your spokesperson at CB24?
It's a rotation of the ADM. So you met Karen Dance in there. She's one of several. I forget how many we have.
So she's been live.
Yes.
She we have about eight.
We're just saying we have about eight. Okay. Yeah. So depending on who's on that day, they've all been.
Yeah.
trained to do that.
Yep.
And that's, sorry, that's a fixed time every day, 365?
I believe so.
That's great.
Yeah, in the morning, yeah. So I want to make sure you continue, have time to finish up here, sorry.
I think that's it. I love, by the way, I'm not a big fan of like PowerPoint slides and I like discussions. So that's like, I've had like two slides and things going in. There may be another, oh yeah, well, I already talked about this one. This is like why we need to engage the ecosystem. And I think I talked about this is, I think in the airport, like my biggest thing is I used to be in the innovation center and I love working with like innovation hubs like Mars and DMC and CDL and all these different organizations when I was back then. And it was just an opportunity like just to connect with the community as well. And you realize the fact is like, you don't know what you don't know, which I love. And you learn like so many different things. And work with you find folks, I'm pretty sure I could learn like a whole whack of new things that I'm not even aware of. Right. And so that's the exciting part of it. So that's why I think we do need to engage the ecosystem more. And I think that's part of our strategy. It's a big part of it. It's one of my pillars. It's one of the big pillars is to really start to leverage the ecosystem to really connect together and really make like not just the airport, but you know, GTA, like, you know, an awesome force. That's it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you again so much. And I think
just one last question. Sure. So some of the things that great presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
So some of the things we learned. So I'm just thinking the next steps because we did this with some time and you got some really good suggestions and ideas in terms of wayfinding and effective communication and some of the things that will help the experience at the airport be a certainly take it to a whole new level. Who do you escalate that to? And can we get some sort of feedback maybe in the next cycle to say that since our last meeting, here's what we've done. We've made some changes in the wayfinding part of it. We've improved communication. For me, seniors, I'm the seniors advocate for the city of Toronto. And for me, seniors are important. You know, they're not, when you talk about apps, and even that word for me turns me off. I mean, I'm not an app person. So I like the airport to talk to me rather than me trying to figure it out through my phone. So can we have sort of that Walmart experience, you know, and have people at the entrances, welcome to the airport. Where are you going? Can I help you? Is one potential solution there. And have your speaker system. It's been dead silent the whole time we were here. So let's have that activated. So, you know, your next flight, if you're flying to this destination, you should be at the gate by this time and whatever you want to say to that effect, at which gate you go to. Can we get that feedback at some point?
I let me just say, I think one of the things that we were talking about too is I think it's really important that we do really good discovery work because those are really great points you brought up. One of the things we noticed is like when we first started out there and I was curious because when I first got here, everyone's like, well, we need an app. Right. At first, I was like, okay, do we like what data tells you that we do? And so I just did like, you know, really hard, really focused 16 seconds of Copilot in ChatGPT discovery work to say, like, what do other airports have an app? And what's the engagement like? And the engagement at other airports is exactly what you said, 7% actually on airport app. Because one, and you talk about folks that are maybe not technology tech savvy, but even those that are tech savvy, they trust the airport information. So they trust the bid screen. So when we were standing there, like I would ask the question, like, how many passengers pulled out the smartphone and be like, I'm going to airplane to tell me exactly what check-in is and where.
Zero. That's fresh information too. It's not stale.
It's fresh and it's trusted. And to your point is that what we found out when we did discovery, the next thing is like, okay, I know where my gate is. I'm going to go talk to someone. Where do I go next? Right. To your point, you've got it. And so that's why it's not, you know, jumping to the technology solution is not the right approach. It's really understanding the experience that you're trying to give a passenger. What are their pain points? So here's a good example, the FID screen. If I look at a FID screen, it's just data. It's not technology, but it's just the data. But I still got to ask somebody where to go.
Yeah. Where do I drop my bag?
Where do I draw my bag? Yeah. Then we miss the point. That's a pain point.
Yeah.
Right. Like ideally our goal is to help passengers be self-sufficient, right? Because that's the way of the world. So if they 10 passengers go to the bid screen, and then if 10 passengers have to go and ask a service representative, where do I go next? And we just mark.
Just to build on that. So when I was doing projects, I would always engage with the Grant Council of Aging for a lot of engineering projects. And they'd be almost like stakeholders. So all these decisions that are being made for wayfinding, and we walked through and we didn't let you finish your first sentence. And you go to a council of aging and bring them in and ask them to run through. You just follow them and they give you the pain points. Like, is it true engagement of walking through the system, or are you guessing what you hear? Like, how are you using the people to actually walk through? I have this, because that time, 1 minute, I know my dad can't do 1 minute, even if he was standing at gate one and it's one, and you can't walk for 1 minute.
See, I love what you said there. I love what you said there too. And so part of what we've done is before we went to the app itself, we started testing experience. So to your point of like how intuitive was the information, if it wasn't intuitive information, well, guess what? We spent $10 million on it. We did like a scrappy proof of concept for like $17 to get experience and understand that. And what's more important, and it may not be like very popular, but I think we're all, that's part of like what I really appreciate about this leadership team is like they understand the fact is like their opinion is an opinion of one. It's really about passengers. And so what we do is like before we're launching and as we're launching and in continuation, everything's being tested like with the passenger experience. So building like exactly to your point, it's like our goal was to make it intuitive that you don't have to talk to a TSR. So we're going to give you this experience solution. I'm not going to tell you how to use it. I'm not going to tell you anything. Just here you have it. How many of the people that are using this solution talk to a TSR, or how many people figured out? So we had walked. I had to buy a Starbucks to use it, but that's fine. And we walked, but it's like, okay, hey, like they came to the airport. I'm like, oh, your first time here? And like, yes. I'm like, okay, cool. And they came to the fifth screen and they're like, okay, and I'm just trying to understand. Like, listen, like there's Starbucks waiting for you. You just, can I hang out with you? And exactly to your point, I'm like, all right, well, we have this thing that we left in test.
Yeah.
You got it. And it said like proof of concept right on the top. It's beta. It's like, here you go. Like, okay, where do you need to go? And all I did was like, okay, you need to get to the gate. Like, here you go. Can you get there?
Yeah.
And then as they're walking and stuff like that, and they have to hesitate. I'm like, why did you hesitate? And they're like, well, I don't know where to go. Like, I see this 1 minute, but what does that mean? Like, is it 1 minute that it's a transit time? Or is it 1 minute wait time? And I'm like, take that feedback. And then within a week, you change the narrative and we test it again. Yeah. Right, like, exactly to your point, I think we're really trying to change that mindset of just launching stuff for the sake of launching stuff. And really, my biggest focus, like, from being a product person is, like, adoption is the win. Right? People are using it, but it's not even just using it. It's providing value at the end of the day. So it's really great feedback.
And just the last point on all of that is I just find, like, I'm just talking to folks that are coming to the airport, feel like, they don't own the, you want them to own the process, their own process, but they don't own their own process with it. It's very regulated where you're going and all that. And so that example there of like, should I ask this person now and should I walk over here? It's like if you're being micromanaged, somebody's looking over your shoulder and you're not, you mess up your typing. You're trying to write something on the screen, you mess it up and erase it because people are watching. And so I think with all the engagement that you've done, everything, just I would say just consider. How does one own their own process, own their own time to come through?
So you took from a passenger standpoint?
Yeah.
So
time to come through. How do I own my own process? Nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore.
Yeah.
They just want everything on their phone, and if it's not on the phone, they just don't want to talk to anyone. So they just want to own their own process, but I think it's you want to own your own process in a very regulated building. And so you have that fear. If I do something wrong, security's going to take me over there. If I go through this gate, I'm going to get stopped right away. I'm going to go over here.
Continue the word process to experience.
Sure.
Because I think it's like it's kind of the same thing.
So I just feel like if you have a misstep, somebody's going to talk to you. So you're better off talking to somebody.
It's a more of a worry.
It's a worry that you're in this environment. But first of all, you have somebody hop in your car and say, drive off. You get inside, you can't stop here, you can't park here. And that's the first thing you see when you get here. And then once you get in the building, then you have to go line up sometimes or not, and all that, and the security and everything, which you have to do. But this is a very regulated area, and you're trying to get free will. It's very different balance. And I think that's the issue. You face that,
yeah,
to try to get people to say, I have one at an airport. And it's very difficult. I think that something you have to balance.
I think that has a lot in the first layer to do with you're questioning yourself, am I doing the right thing or not? Because potentially the communication is not very clear. I was thinking about it the other day, I landed in Montreal, and I recognized that in the terminal, when I was looking for the Uber, he said Uber. And there was a line that said Uber. People were not wondering where Uber was. And I remember, I don't fly from Terminal 3 anymore, but I remember Terminal 3 saying, ride sharing app. We're hosting people from many different communities, internal and not necessarily English is their first language. And a lot of visitors come from work from abroad. Uber makes sense to people. Ride sharing app? It's a little bit like it's written for someone that really understands what you're trying to say. And I think that translates to a lot of other things. When they say, is that where I should be going or not? There's an element of confusion on the language that I don't know if it can be revised. I don't know, probably not just everything, but certain things could be revised to make it easier.
It could even be like using the Uber like app logo,
yes,
to match what is on the phone so people can like it can translate across all languages, so that it carries like Uber Lyft all the apps.
Yeah.
So it's consistent. It's easier for people to recognize because if there's a language barrier, then that's definitely one of those things too.
Okay. That you're saying is this group has a lot of really good brain power.
Yeah, I was gonna say something tells me getting a 2 a.m. phone call.
No, it's been great.
To be like, I forgot this one thing.
Yeah. and I am mindful of the time. We have 10 minutes left. I did want to make sure that we all, you know, we could do a bit of a roundtable if there were some member updates. So I know this is the most interesting conversation, but are we okay to just move on and absolutely like more questions come about, more ideas, you know, we can definitely, you may get a bunch of emails there. So, but maybe at this point, if everyone's okay, because I imagine you want to.
Just wanted to know if we're going to have a follow-up because it's
really good
feedback here and be a real shame
group
to let it die here without that follow-up to see that there's been some changes to be there or implementation of some improvements are underway or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. And I think from my perspective, this is a big part of this committee, right, is understanding airport operations, you know, that continuous improvement and where we're going. So yeah, I think this has been a wonderful kind of level set. This is such a part of Pearson's future forward lens on everything, right? No pressure, Niraj. That's gonna happen. I'd love to see we could be bringing back topics on different areas and saying, okay, here's how we're starting to make some changes in this area or that area. And then I just want to say too, the other thing that, you know, I started this at our last meeting, but like having, you know, some of our members doing presentations, you know, from the different cities or what have you. So again, if this conversation hopefully, you know, sparks some ideas on, you know, what can you bring from your organization that you want to share at this table that you think would be valuable, I really, really welcome that. Would love to see like us start a bit of a rotation, you know, as we move forward for our next meeting. So just want to put that out there too. Would love that kind of volunteerism. So I'm not, you know, poking people, but we had BBOT, you know, share some of their policy priorities at the last meeting. So it'd be great if we can just keep that going as well, and just put the spotlight on all your various organizations as well as we keep going.
Can we put this as an agenda item for next meeting?
The like wayfinding. Sure.
That's good to talk about.
I think maybe with FIFA coming up, that'll really support.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say like it's a separate team that's working on like that overall ending strategy. So
yeah, that would be interesting.
But from a selfish standpoint, I decided to support our Phoenix Jet playing Portugal goals.
Is FIFA requiring space from you guys to put their own information spots? Because I've been in other World Cups, and every airport, every train station, every bus station had like a FIFA touch point. So I wonder if they have already talked to you, if there's going to be something like that in the airport.
I'm not aware personally.
I know.
Yeah. We do have an entire engagement plan for the World Cup. It comes with many. FIFA are wonderful, but they're. I am a huge football fan, and I can't be more excited about the World Cup coming. But there are many trademark restrictions, or they have very specific ideas that they'd like implemented. We do have a team that's working on that, and we will ensure that, you know, we have a plan that incorporates both the passengers, like that supports the passengers coming in, but it is very restrictive around where, what time, and we really need to understand. I think we will understand much more once the program is set in terms of who the countries are and who plays and what in the group that we're hosting.
Yeah. When is it? When is
26? It's July. June next year.
Yeah.
We are hosting 6 games. This is my tribute. Six games, five of them in the group stage, and then one round of 16 game, and they're all at the BMO field.
Wow.
Which means depending on which countries and because they're changing the makeup as well of the group stages, I'm not sure how many teams are in each group and where they're from.
Yeah, we only
four.
They have more groups basically.
Yeah.
Maybe Canada is going to be. States are not here.
Heard that.
Canadian games will be here, Vic.
Yeah. So good. Maybe they'll be here. So
we'll see. You know what we'll do? We can talk to that team and see like when's the best, whether it's December or, you know, our February meeting, like when we'll have the kind of richest information to bring forward to this group. We can definitely plan.
Will the consultative committee be given tickets?
No, actually. Like so there's a box.
Not before the innovation.
You can volunteer for that. There's a box at Vivo Field with CC engraved on.
All right. Well, yeah, no, great question. So I think that's what we'll do. I'll take that back and just make sure, you know, we'll plan that presentation for when we have kind of the most information to share. Okay. Again, mindful of time, but maybe do we want to just go around if anyone does want to share kind of an update on behalf of your organization? Perhaps I'll start with if our online folks are still there, Michael or Bram, is there anything you want to share with the group, just an update on behalf of your organization? Hey, Michael.
Thanks, Karen. I actually want to give a quick shout out to the GTAA this Thursday. 17 Seneca students will be graduating from the RAKE Readiness Program. I think it's the first cohort that the GTA, through their innovative thinking, and I guess, Karen, you know, you're probably familiar more with the program. I'm just kind of getting...
I'm sure Ruth was the lead on that, so...
Oh, perfect. So this is amazing. I'm super, super thrilled. You know, I remember going back to my airport days and how long it took for me to get a RAKE, and the fact that we can now engage students even with them in post-secondary. So once they leave our doors, it's a smooth transition over to the GTAA. So my manager of academic programs and my program coordinator will be in attendance, I believe, this Thursday, and I hope I'll be able to be there as well. I would have loved to be in person. I'm such the AV geek that I love the airport tour, but unfortunately there's a potential labor disruption facing Ontario colleges right now. So I'm kind of hunkering down in the office, but I did want to thank Karen and the team for not only organizing this tour, but also for the Airside tour that I had the pleasure of joining 2 weeks ago. So thanks so much, and really looking forward to continued collaboration.
Thank you. Thanks, Michael. Graham, anything from you there?
No updates from us at this time. Thanks.
Thanks. Anyone can do random. Don't want to put anyone on the spot, but anything that you want to share on behalf of your organization?
Looking at me. Since I was stuck to share for the City of Toronto, but But and I may so for Debbie could be repetitive. I think I've talked about this before. So we're going to help move people into the airport by hopefully learning soon when the Finch West LRT is going to be green lighted and up and running. And of course, the Edmonton Crosstown as well. So there'll be two new lines of potential transportation methods that people could move themselves from wherever they are into the airport. The other thing I'm doing is I'm advocating very heavily and make some good progress in that area. And currently the Finch West LRT terminates at Humber College. So I call it the LRT to nowhere, I guess. It goes to the college. It's great for the, you know, for the students there, but it doesn't go beyond that. We recently announced maybe a couple of months ago at the Woodbine Racetrack, the a new GO station that has been approved and funded at the south end of the racetrack around Highway 27 in Belfield. And so I'm advocating to have the Finch, the LRT extended another 2 kilometers from Humber down to, of course, the Gold. It only makes sense to connect to Tobacco North. And of course, from there, a direct line to the airport as well. So there's two tidbits of really good news. And what else can I tell you? It's of course, there's a lot of activity at the Woodbine lands. There's 750 acres of prime development space with a vision for much more than just what it is today, a racetrack and a casino. There's going to be residential at some point that's already on the books, you know, maybe another 40,000 units of housing on that property as well. So that's the need for, you know, the GO station and the LRT and the transit as well. And it is a sort of currently it's the largest development site in the city of Toronto, or in the GTA for that matter. It's over 700 acres. There's a lot going on there. Other than that, yeah, things are great. We're just entering a new budget season right now, and then into 26, and then of course the election year. Okay. I'll say no more.
Thank you, Kessler.
All right.
Anyone else?
You'll hear about it in 2026.
Okay.
Right. So Mississauga has been working on a strategy over this last little while. Right, both in terms of what we plan to do to revitalize our downtown, kind of give it a bit of a facelift, right? Also being able to address the need for affordable housing and get more people inside the place the way they need to be. Subject to that, it's like we're also revamping our strategy for economic development, right? Change of winds from our neighbors down south, right, has pushed to us the problem of, hey, how are we able to navigate from this? And what can we do moving forward, right? So we put together a rather comprehensive strategy from leadership down. I can tell you that over this past few weeks, we've been working a lot. Like the other day, I was up till 4 o'clock in the morning. We're looking at to try to get that grant through for submission for this Thursday. And what I can say is, the strategy that I'm spearheading is looking in order to make our supply chains locally more robust, right? Being able to rely on our neighbors instead of trying to make a long distance relationship work. For those who remember Canada from before, we weren't afraid to knock on the door of our neighbor and ask for a cup of sugar, right? Now, we don't even know who our neighbors are, right? So the idea, at its most basic form, is being able to ask our neighbors what they do, and maybe they can help us, and maybe we can help them, right? So community relations is something that Canada very much needs to get back to all over, right? And if we're able to do that, it's a great first step of being able to rely on ourselves instead of wondering what our neighbors are going to do.
Absolutely. So,
yeah. Thank you. Yes, and that will be a key presentation, I think, when the team at Mississauga is ready to share that economic development strategy. So
yeah
we'll look forward to that.
Sure. Until
2026, I'll be making that strategy.
Right, that'll
still be the presentation.
Absolutely.
Okay. Last call. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. This has been, for me, a really great experience. I really enjoyed spending the time in person with you all and wonderful discussion. And thanks again to Niraj for joining us and sharing all of that. I think it really sparked a lot of interest and ideas. So yeah, we may need you to come back.
You're always welcome.
Yes.
Yeah, so thanks again, everyone, for making the time to come here today. And yeah, our next meeting, if we close out, our next meeting is December 4th.
So yeah, 3rd or 4th.
3rd-ish. So for kind of the holiday season. So yeah, we'll look forward to that. And again, I'm going to look to kind of set, you know, can be our roadmap for 2026 and just some of the key topics, you know, that we're most interested in, you're most interested in diving into. But definitely, I feel like this lens of innovation kind of sparked, again, looking at, you know, what we're meant to do, the airport operations, but really from that future looking point of view. And I think that's where a lot of your value as our members can really come in and contribute, right? From, from your skills, your lens, and your organization. Some of you that are representing organizations will be of great value. So I'm excited about that.
The next meeting is December 2nd, first Tuesday.
Okay, very good. Okay, well, without further ado, thanks again. And please, you know, continue to take snacks on your way
in. We'll need the visitor passes back. They have to be returned to security. Also, behind you, we have some swag bags for you folks. Yes, I have parking passes for anyone that drove as well.
And the parking passes are in. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your evening.
We didn't ask for that.
I need help too.
Usually, much like key points of reference, I'm on.